understand that, yes, national Sunday laws will come, persecution will come, but nothing of that sort is in the pipeline at the present time, nothing that we have understood.
For those of you that agree with what the Seventh-day Adventist president just said, and you disagree or may not understand why my last video was rather important, perhaps this stack of videos will help you see the light. Check this out.
Theocracy. It isn't a word you often hear in American politics these days, but given the religious rhetoric coming from some Republican candidates this year, it doesn't feel as far-fetched or hyperbolic as it would have been in the past. Frankly, it feels possible. There are candidates embracing the idea that whatever the First Amendment actually says about the free exercise or establishment of religion, that this wall between church and state should actually come down. And not only that, these folks argue the wall was actually never supposed to be there in the first place.
The church is supposed to direct the government. And I'm tired of this separation of church and state junk.
So much for this myth of separation of church and state.
The Republican nominee for Maryland Attorney General, it's a position he's taken since at least 2014 when he called the separation of church and state, quote, the great lie. And he added, there can be no separation of God from government because he, capital H there, created it.
We need to be the party of nationalism. And I'm a Christian and I say it proudly. We should be Christian nationalists.
Pastor Doug Wilson leads Christ Church in what he calls a Cold War civil war.
Our rights come to us from God and not from the government.
Fighting in, of all places, a college town. Moscow, home to University of Idaho and just 8 miles from Washington State University, exudes a live and let live vibe.
One of the interesting things about Moscow is how these two entities live side by side, and I mean literally. Right behind me, that's the offices of the Christ Church. And right next door is the headquarters for the local Democratic Party.
From this former art house movie theater, Wilson leads his campaign to make Moscow a Christian town.
We have the left routinely speaking of me and of others as Christian nationalists, as if we're supposed to be running from that. I'm not about to run from that.
It's ironic that judges will say, well, we have to maintain separation of church and state. They're quoting from Jefferson, and Jefferson in the Declaration said all men are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Here's Jefferson acknowledging he believed in a creator, and they're using his phrase out of context to prohibit a creator.
In that same letter, Jefferson showed where he stands.
At the end of it, Thomas Jefferson says, will you please pray to God for me, and I will pray to God for you. He violates the separation of church and state in the very letter that gave us the phrase.
And right after he wrote it,
President Jefferson left the White House to go to the United States Capitol at the time to do what? To go to church that Sunday.
In the Capitol.
In the United States Capitol buildings.
The U.S. Supreme Court has more than 50 depictions of the Ten Commandments in its own building.
George Washington was sworn in on the Holy Bible. He said, so help me God, which was the common way of taking oaths. George Washington even leaned down and kissed the Holy Bible.
They wanted God in all of their proceedings.
So, you know, if their idea was, well, there should be no reference to God in our government, then the founders, you know, absolutely were schizophrenic. They absolutely did not mean the separation of God and government.
As Newcomb put it, while the founders made religious freedom a priority, they certainly did not intend to make America into some sort of secular wasteland.
He said, once a state offers taxpayer money to benefit public schools, it cannot leave out religious ones.
This is one of a series of decisions in which the court's conservative majority has been incredibly protective of religion and has said that the government cannot discriminate, including when it's spending public money.
In dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor said the decision, quote, leads us to a place where separation of church and state becomes a constitutional violation.
Whereas we, the church, are God's governing body on the earth. Whereas we have been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority.
How we get back to a moral rebirth in this country, I don't know, since we are slowly eroding religion at every opportunity that we have. Probably we should be debating a bill requiring every American to attend a church of their choice on Sunday.
This is a Christian nation. Christians outnumber you by a lot, a lot. And we're not going to listen to 2%. You represent 2% of the country, okay? We're not bending the knee to the 2% anymore. The 98% of the rest of us, you know, 70, 75% of which are Christians, self-identifying Christians, we're not taking it anymore, bud. We are taking back our culture. We're taking back our country. We're taking back our government. So deal with it. You're going to enjoy the fruits of living in a Christian society under Christian laws.
We have the power of God with us. We have Jesus Christ that we're serving here. He's guiding and directing our steps. And in November, we're going to take our state back. My God will make it so.
My personal feeling is there's no such thing as separation of church and state.
The framers of the Constitution envisioned a country where in the classroom, kids would learn about God. That in the classroom, kids would learn about good versus evil. And that Judeo-Christian ethic separates itself from Islam and atheism and all these other belief sets on so many levels. But one of the main levels is our acknowledgement of good versus evil and teaching our kids to fight for good over evil.
The founding fathers never intended for church and state to be completely separate.
This is another example of the Supreme Court. You know, there's two parts of the First Amendment. One says free exercise. The other says establishment. Don't establish a religion. Don't have government endorse a religion. And in the past, those two were sort of in balance. But in recent years, the court has been much more solicitous of claims of religious freedom. So it's undoubtedly another step toward lowering the wall of separation between church and state.
Nothing's about to happen at the Capitol that the church doesn't 100% endorse.
Monson says complete separation of church and state might be impossible given the country's deep-rooted religious history.
Let me tell you something. You ain't seen an insurrection yet. You keep on pushing our buttons, you low-down sorry compromisers. You God-hating communist America, you'll find out what an insurrection is, because we ain't playing your garbage. We ain't playing your mess. My Bible says that the church of the living God is an institution that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Bible says that we'll take it by force. That's what the Bible says.
If the prophecy of the mark of the beast being a religious law is bogus or unfounded, as so many from the fallen churches claim, then why are they doing exactly as prophecy said they would do? I mean, seriously, either see the truth as it's staring you in the face and repent so as to be ready for the coming of the Lord, or bury your head in the sand and embrace the lies all the way up to the very day you stand in line to receive the mark just so you can get some food. And by the way, when the mark is enforced, not a single government or church leader will ever tell you that you're actually getting the mark of the beast. They're not going to tell you that. They have been hiding this truth for centuries, and in these last days, they have created many fake prophecies so as to make people believe the mark of the beast is a tattoo or a very chip implant, the number 666, and a host of other strange claims. But the basic reality here is this. The only way to know what the mark of the beast is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, pray each and every day, and study His Word daily. For the only way to understand prophecy, and this includes end time prophecies, is to obey the God that wrote it. As we can see in the Word of God, only the obedient people of God will have eyes to see this truth so as to be ready for what actually has already begun. For it is plainly written in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Thank you for watching. God bless.